Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod with your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solano.
Porpoise Pod's going on here. All right, Solano, so we got a week two matchup here against a Baltimore Ravens team that has typically kicked the Dolphins' ass. You know, we talk about years past, Dolphins against the Ravens has been a bit of a horror show. And that's why it was such an interesting game last year for a lot of reasons. But this Dolphins team was mired in such a terrible start, you know, 2-7 at the time. They had just snapped a long losing streak. The Ravens were 6-2. They were 8.5-point road favorites against Miami in this one.
Crazy.
It's wild. Yeah. It was a real wild turning point for the Miami Dolphins because, you know, I remember all the articles that were like, Lamar Jackson, homecoming king. You know, everybody was already packing up the Dolphins season. Tua had hurt his finger. Remember, it was his second injury. He had the fractured finger. And he seemed like he was going to be good to go. And then they're like, nah, you're not good to go. Bring in Jacoby Brissett. So we got Jacoby Brissett starting at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins against Lamar Jackson. It felt like they were going to get drubbed. Like, if this felt like the Dolphins were going to slaughter this past game.
Yeah, I remember going into the game thinking this is going to be a 30-point rout by the Ravens. And Tobin, every time the Dolphins before that game had played the Ravens, it felt since the Greg Camarillo game, it was a 40-point win by the Ravens, right? Because remember, Flo's first year, week one, Ravens put 59 on the Dolphins. And then for whatever reason, I can't help but think of 2008, Ed Reed, the Pennington just throwing interceptions everywhere. And then even if you want to go back to like, what was that, 2002, the last time the Dolphins played them in the playoffs before that. Like, it just feels like the Ravens are our daddies. Yep. And other than Greg Camarillo, legend, and then this Thursday night football game, the Ravens kind of are our daddies.
Yeah, and that's what made this so strange, because you have this guy who is coming in here to this hero's welcome. It's such an odd thing because he is such a beloved figure down here, Lamar Jackson. I mean, right. He really is. And for him to have kind of this national TV coronation almost be ruined by a team that really had lost its identity. I don't know what had happened to this Dolphins defense all year. It had gotten passive. They had dealt with some injuries, but like nothing compared to the starting QB being out. And you didn't recognize this team. They had lost to the Jaguars in London.
The Falcons game also late in the game. Yes. Matt Ryan throwing a Kyle Pitts all over the field. They go down. Yep. They win the game with a game-winning drive. Like, they were just torching the Dolphins defense. And missed me with injuries because X was playing most of the time. Byron was playing most of the time. Like, this was the Dolphins' defense. It was very strange.
And then this game was just such a – it was such a turning point for that attitude, because right out of the gate, they are hounding Lamar Jackson. Like, they are coming out of him. Javon Holland is blitzing like crazy. They're using all kinds of different – look at them. Like, the aggression had just been cranked up. I don't know if it was a we-got-nothing-to-lose attitude or what it was, but that defense that was such a staple the year before – that was giving quarterbacks fits. Now, all of a sudden, it was like an old friend coming back for this matchup against Lamar Jackson. And they really held him down basically that entire game. And it was just such a strange thing that this game where it seemed like they had no hope. Nobody thought that they were going to be able to pull it off against a guy of this caliber, an MVP player, and they were able to really, really make him uncomfortable the entire night. It was such a weird, weird night.
I'm just looking at like some of my notes here, Tobin, from that game. The Ravens scored the first field goal of the game early on their first drive. They didn't score again until 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Think about that. The right. Dolphins held the Ravens without a point until 4 minutes left in the third after their first drive, which was just a Justin Tucker field goal. And if you really think about it, like, you had Jacoby in the game. He kind of like hobbles off the sideline.
Right.
And then Tua comes in, middle fingers up to Flo. Like, F you. I'm playing this game. And plays pretty well, you know, like had some big moments. He had the touchdown late in the game as well. But most importantly, middle fingers up to Flo, because you know Flo benched his ass that game. He blamed it on the injury, but Tua was ready to go. Flo benched
his ass. It was not a thing. Yeah, there was a whole thing that maybe there were reports, some rumors that he thought he was golfing too much and that he wasn't taking his preparation seriously. Which, look, even Mike McDaniel has acknowledged this year that Tua has cranked that up to a different level of profession that maybe he wasn't at last year. So maybe it was some immaturity on Tua's part. He had even admitted after his first year with Chan Gailey that he didn't know the playbook as well as he should have. So perhaps that was a thing. I don't know. It's not, you know, Tua's not a flawless guy. But the thing that's funny about that, when you say middle fingers to Flo, he had both of his quarterbacks hate him, because remember, like, Jacoby Brissett, they go to the sidelines. They're like, oh yeah, Jacoby Brissett's been cleared to play. He tried to come in and Flo told him to stay. And he walked away frustrated. So he had literally both quarterbacks hating him in that same game. It was pretty marvelous. But the best moments of this game, I mean, really didn't even count, because it was Robert Hunt scoring a touchdown that doesn't count, which still should have in my mind. I don't understand. Like, if a fat man runs and looks that beautiful with the arch, how does that not count?
It was the greatest play that didn't count in the history of the Miami Dolphins, right?
Yes. Yes. This, I don't even think it's up for debate. I don't even think it's up for debate. And it made me so happy, because everybody loves the fat guy who does something that little guys do in the game. When he does something and looks good. But I don't know. He wasn't allowed to touch the ball. I don't know why he thought he could just take it and scoop, but who cares? Like, he's like, I got the football. Let's go. Let's make this happen. Tua's under pressure. I'll make something out of nothing.
There was something graceful about him, you know, juking out defenders, jumping into the end zone. Like, typically when like oversized guys in the NFL do something, it's never really graceful. It's just, you know, meaty powerfulness coming your way, like a fridge coming your way. There was something extremely like delicate and graceful about him just charging into the end zone. That, no joke, like, you look back last year, it's wild to say, but the play that didn't count, that might have been one of the more memorable plays from the Dolphins' 8-game winning streak to end the season.
Oh, yeah. He got the elevator. He got the elevator that day,
too.
That's
right.
It was pretty crazy. And that was at so at that point of the game, there was 13 minutes left. It was 6-3. And then you had your plays that really did count, which was Xavien Howard. He lit up Sammy Watkins, forced a fumble, returned it for a TD. The Dolphins really were giving Lamar Jackson hell, and they were trying to be physical with him too. Remember, Jerome Baker basically suplexed him in the end zone, killed him, got a rough in the passer on that one. Javon Holland got some extracurricular activity on him too. And like you said, they did not score until there was just a few minutes left in the game, but still got him to within five. So Tua really has to go out there and have this clutch moment. And he does it with a 64-yard pass to Albert Wilson in motion and, you know, really set them up for the clinching touchdown. Tua rushes it in. And it was a huge moment. It was a huge moment for the team. It was a huge moment for Tua. A national TV spotlight game. He comes off the bench, a game he doesn't think he's going to play in. And, you know, really ices the game for this team and gets a win that they desperately need to push him to 3-7.
Yeah, when you look at what that game did, I mean, you talk about Xavien Howard, the play he made, it really kind of brought him back to like that Pro Bowl level, I think. And it's not like he was having a terrible season. Really, the entire Dolphins defense wasn't, you know, as you mentioned, wasn't playing great. But man, like, I feel like X used that for the rest of the year as fuel. And Javon Holland, that was kind of like his breakout game, right? Not only on the national level, but he made big plays that game. Pretty sure he had an interception that game, if not one, but two. Do I have that right? Like, he definitely, maybe not. Oh, no, it was Justin Coleman who had an interception that game. But Javon Holland,
he had four tackles.
He had a sack on Lamar, as we mentioned. Like, he was everywhere that game.
Yeah, he was just flying. He was in Lamar's face at all times. Just a really, really great. It was just such a season changing game for the Dolphins. Now, yeah, obviously they had they went on a win. I think they won five more straight after this up until the Tennessee loss, which was obviously crushing. And we don't have to talk about that right now. But the point is, this game meant a lot for Tua, and really, I think took a lot of the wind out of the sails of Lamar Jackson, who was, you know, riding high at this point. He thought he was going to come into this hero's welcome, and the Dolphins really spoiled his party. So sets up for a lot of interesting scenarios that you have two non-divisional teams with this, you know, interesting connection of a quarterback who's out here liking photos of himself in Dolphins uniform. He's in a standoff with a contract with a team that isn't really sure if they're going to invest in their quarterback long-term. So this has some interesting storylines going into it, in that if Lamar Jackson does kick the Dolphins' ass, there's going to be a base down here because he's loved and because he's really awesome of, well, let's go get Lamar Jackson. He's unhappy there. If they won't pay him, you know, Stephen Ross will pay him. Right. And then there's also the case of Tua, who could also do what he did to Belichick and be like, nah, player, I'm 2-0 against him too. I'm just rolling on here. So it's kind of I know quarterbacks don't play each other, but quarterbacks are very much like head coaches, and they're based on their record. And so it does matter. And it does matter for Tua, and it does matter for, I think, the for the fan base to see that Tua now has two wins over this guy in the two meetings they've had facing each other.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, and Tobin, look, I know a lot of people want to forget about it because it happened so long ago, but Stephen Ross wanted Lamar Jackson.
That was a rumor.
I mean, was it a rumor? Like, are we not ready to confirm that?
I don't know. I mean, no, because I've heard like 9 different accounts of it, but there were many reports that said that he told the draft room to take Lamar Jackson, and they didn't. They wouldn't take him. And I think that they said if he didn't, because I think that was the year they took Minka. I think that he would say, well, then we should trade back if we're not going to take Lamar Jackson. And, you know, they didn't take Lamar Jackson. He ends up in Baltimore, obviously. He's, you know, him and Josh Allen have been the two successful QBs from that draft class. So if that is the case, you know, he may, even if he doesn't, there's no way Stephen Ross, who's literally suspended for tampering right now to try and get Tom Brady, was trying to get Deshaun Watson to settle all his suits. If Lamar Jackson becomes available, you bet your ass, if Tua doesn't work out, he's going to try and go get him. It's not even a question in my mind. That's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would be upset about that either. Like, I want Tua to work so bad. I really do. But Lamar, I'm down.
Would it be?